Welcome to the High Performing Tea and Trails podcast. How are you doing? I imagine a lot of you just sitting out on your long run, waving off the family. See you later, I'll just be 90 minutes, 4 hours. What's on the menu today? Bit of tempo, bit of trails, loop, out and back. Love a loop, hating out and back. Or perhaps you're just listening as you're driving, working, washing the dishes, folding the laundry. The chores are endless. Whatever you are doing, we are so happy you're here and so grateful for both your support and your listening ears. We thank all our partners who provide a discount code to our ace Patreons. We have Precision Fuel and Hydration, On, Tiki Boo, Mountain Fuel, Outdoor Active, Vela Forte, Silver, Active Root, The Centurion Running Store, Protein Rebel, Sportshoes.com, Big Bubble Hats, X Miles, Farmside Farm Cottages, and Yugoku Project. Oh, and let's not forget our new... I was going so well. It was smooth, Gary.
And
let's not forget Red Bear Sports, for who have just come on board. If you'd like to look like Gary, a complete and absolute tool. I mean, a total cool guy. Check them out and be part of the cool gang and have some awesome discount codes by supporting both our partners and the show over at Patreon. Maybe even treat yourself. I shall raise my breasts to the camera. Over at Summit Crazy, if you'd like some awesome tea and trails merch. I have to really raise high because I've had 3 children.
Is it your spaniel's ears? That's stuck with me after you said that.
Yeah. I don't know, because they're always in a sports bar at the moment, so I don't know what they look like. Who cares? I'm glad we started with my breasts for this podcast.
Straight in. Welcome to episode 46. This week we have a chat with Basil Heaney from Into Ultra, a great initiative that is trying to remove the financial barrier that might stop people from giving ultra running a go. We have Brew the Coaches, Tales from the Trails, a competition from our friends Active Route, and our weekly catch up.
And our new little snippet, Love from the Mud, which Gary is not enjoying, but I am insisting that I want put in there. So everybody, when you listen to this, then pop over onto our socials and go, we love the new feature, Eddie. It's
inspired.
It's great. We are super stoked to have Precision Fuel and Hydration as a podcast sponsor. I'm doing so well with my fueling and my electrolytes in preparation for not vomiting around the winter 200. And I'm talking to their sports scientists this afternoon, so I will have all sorts of gems to share with you next week. Don't forget, patrons get 15% off, and anyone could get 15% off with their first code, CAPSLOCKTANDTRAILS15.
Thanks to all our Patreon partners and sponsors for supporting the Tea and Trails podcast. You can find links for all our sponsors at teaandtrails.com or in the show notes.
We have to start the show, Gary, with mentioning the fact you have a Christmas jumper on and it's November the 7th. He's laughing. This isn't funny, Gary. This is serious.
This is out of character. I'm not an early festive celebrator. There's somebody in our estate where I live with the tree up, and that really did trigger me. But our friends at Red Bear Sports sent me this out, this technical long sleeve tee, so I thought I'd put it on.
It looks good. But then you'd look good in a bin bag, Gary.
I've also got Steve, my Canadian friend, sent me a snood, and he sent me a back in, oh my goodness, maybe it must be in August or July, so it wasn't really snood weather, buff weather. I think this is a buff, I can call it a buff. But now we are well in, rocking November, so it's pretty much full-time snood weather.
I love the top, but there is a rule. There is a very strong rule in my family because I'm a December birthday. So there is no chat about Christmas. If people mention Christmas lists, if anyone eats a mince pie before my birthday, they get shut down. They are in big. There is no mention of Christmas till after my birthday. And they know that. And now you know that, Gary. So I won't expect that behavior again, please.
Oh, I won't be on next week. Sorry, Eddie.
Anyway, let's start with you. Because I am dull. I'm sure you are not dull. You've done loads.
Nothing other than running has really happened to me, but I'll rattle through it. So I think I did my 15 times by 1 minute at 5K pace. And a few people asked me, what is my 5K pace? And it's completely wrong. Any coach, because I've not done a 3-hour marathon for such a long time. So for me to use this as a metric for my 5K pace is completely crazy. What I need to do really is go and do park run.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not tempted to go and do a little park run and see
not
what...
Not my current condition, but yeah, that's what I should do. And then that would be like a good benchmark to gauge all my training off. But basically, I've got this Daniels Formula Calculator Excel spreadsheet, which is awesome. And you pop in a time and then it projects all your other predicted times. And to be fair, it is pretty accurate. It's spectacular how they've done this. So that 5K time is based on... If I could run a 3-hour marathon, that is the pace I would do a 5K at. So roughly speaking, it's just over 6 minutes a mile for a 5K. So 6:05, 6:02, that is the target. And the 15 times 1 minute as a workout is quite forgiving. Yeah, before the wheels fall off, your watch beeps, so you get a good rest. I felt okay for that, but that, as far as running's concerned, that was the highlight of my week. Everything was a struggle after that. Loads of running. We had so much rain. Poor Rex. He just got soaked for most of the week. But then we tried TTT on Thursday. I said it to the group, 6 times 2 minutes. And everybody was a bit like, oh, I didn't realize Gary was training already. And quickly binned that off because, yeah, so asthmatic. And again, this chest, I just felt really labored. So we just did a nice social run and had a pint afterwards. Felt rough again. There's a theme to the week. I did a long run with Rex. Went to the sea and back. That was all. I always love that. I'm not so keen on out and back because it's like, oh my goodness, I've got to go back again. I do think it's a treat living... near the sea. Yes,
I always forget you do live near the sea. And then when I saw the little, your little daps in the sea, didn't see Rexy's paws in the sea.
You know, he's not really a fan of baths. He's not really a fan of swimming or anything like that. So yeah, he wasn't keen on the sea. But our coastline has completely transformed now that all the industry, the mines have closed. We see some old photographs quite often get shared on local Facebook groups. And wow, it was not a place that you would go and stroll with your dogs 30 years ago, maybe a bit longer than 30 years ago. But yeah, it's lovely now, actually. It really is nice, but not much in the way of nice little cafes and coffee shops, unfortunately. But it's super quiet. I loved it, but I did bump into 3 friends at the seaside, which is always nice. And we four middle-aged runners. And what we're talking about? Marine collagen. And out of the 4 of us, 3 of us are on collagen. Everybody was like vouching for how good it is. And don't want to go back to pre-collagen days. Sunday. So everything was being compressed because I didn't fancy the workouts on Tuesday, the 6 times 2 minutes. So everything ended up happening really on Saturday and Sunday. So my long run. And then I went to the gym and I didn't do the 6 times 2 minutes. I did 15 minutes at 15 degrees. I just thought the numbers sounded nice, but I kept the effort at a really low heart rate zone 4, which maybe is like half marathon effort. But I was so cooked with this chest infection that basically it didn't take much at all to get my heart rate up to about 149, 150 beats a minute. But then I watched At Home with the Furies episode 3. So that passed the miles.
Ooh, which one's that? Is he going back to fighting in that one? I think
he went to Iceland to go and fight Thor.
Yeah. So weird.
Which I thought was really crazy. I just think these people are really organized. But no, in terms of Iceland, and like, he's not even there, which is really wild. I'm quite amazed.
I'm raging at Bryn. If Bryn, I've just gone, I went to Sweden and I left him with all the kids and he wasn't there.
It's a mad how, with that level of wealth, how you can just operate on a different level of thought. That there's no, literally 4 of them jumped on a plane and it just wasn't even there. I'd be like, literally, I'd be planning that for weeks and weeks and weeks. It was absolutely wild. It was really good, actually. I did 2 sessions down the gym, the weights, and it was the first time I'd had DOMS in a while. So my glutes, the reverse lunge, I'm not going to make it smutty, but it really does for me simulate that. I just visualize myself clambering up Great Gable.
Simulate what? Like
I just feel like that session, that particular workout, or many of the things that I do down the gym, that is just great for that.
I have got the best new exercise I've created. I tried it yesterday. I thought, I'm dicing here, Gary, because... Okay. This is so hard and I'm in the middle of my like biggest volume running weeks. Why would you put a new gym exercise in that leaves you on the floor? But
high risk,
but it was so hard. The first that I did, and my mates were in the gym, but we were kind of all doing our own thing because they're not idiots like me. And I said to them, can you just come and do the exercise like once? Because this feels so hard. And am I weak? Are my hips weak anyway? She tried like the one. She was like, oh my God, I can't even lift my leg up. So I was like, yes.
What is this?
So the box. So do you have those boxes in your gym? Now, Kat, this is not for you to all go and try at home. A lot of gym work and a lot of hills. I'm super strong. But you could add this, but don't maybe start build it up gently, guys. But as you were saying that, I was like, yes, because this is exactly what at the moment, sorry to barge in on your comments, but it was kind of good. This is exactly what I'm trying to mimic at the moment, destroying my legs and then running just day after day, so that I'm hoping eventually my body will go, okay, we're just going to, which it is. Like, so today I haven't got any DOMS. And I did this anyway. Ooh. So the exercise. So we have those boxes with the numbers on.
Okay.
With like how high your people jump up on off plyometric boxes. So I put it on its highest 30, two heavy dumbbells. I think I was using 10 in either hand. You step up onto the box, and the box is higher than my, I have to like over lift to get with my hip up onto the box. And then you step back down. Back into a reverse lunge. You don't put the foot on the floor. You just come back into the running position, hold that, and then back up onto the box. Five on each leg. My heart rate by the end of it was as high as my poor butt cheeks were. And I thought that exactly was mimicking the like, oh my God, when your butt's going, no, 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 no. And you're like, come on, come on. That was a good one. And yes, I love it. I love anything using the glutes that you go, yeah, because they're so strong, but often in running, they're not doing the right thing. Lots of people.
Massive muscle. Your calves are enormous too, I think.
Thanks. They are.
But I have to do that reverse lunge. I have to do it just with the bar, first of all, just to make sure I'm getting my form right.
Your body and brain and muscles doing the exercise first without any weight makes it so much better.
Getting back down the gym, doing two proper sessions and then one strength session at home. So although, yes, I've felt pretty rotten and felt, I think it's just basically the sleep hasn't been great. I've been coughing and spluttering. I just feel a bit meh. I'm just feeling a bit sorry for myself. I didn't get my ALTA review out, which that old Gary, I'd have been raging, and I know the internet has missed it.
I was waiting for it.
You're not great with these zero drop shoes, are you? That would
oh my God, no, my Achilles would it would be the end of Eddie. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning.
I'm super lucky because I can flip from, I think the Ultras, obviously, apart from one of their shoes, a zero drop. You've got your Innovate 270s or 280s, they're zero drop, and then you've got the New Balance, which I just tried recently. They're a 10 millimeter stack. I can flip without any issues whatsoever. So I'm pretty lucky like that. Fingers crossed it will be out this week. But it's really nice. You know, if I get it out, I'll get it out. If I don't, I don't. But like I say, old Gary, when I was on that YouTube, get it. I was doing well. Yeah, old Gary, that would have sent me into a spin. Went to the doctors yesterday. Hopefully then I can shift this. I think I must be, out of everybody I know, she said, oh, you're on these antibiotics and steroids, July, which is probably just after Lakeland 100, July, August. It's pretty scary. I wonder from a medical point of view, how often you can take these drugs without then basically your body becoming quite reliant on them. Is a 3 months gap enough? 4 months gap enough?
I'll ask Rebecca, send her a little WhatsApp and say.
Should send her a message. Because I'm quite worried. It's like, wow, every time I get a cold, then it immediately turns into a chest infection. Mm. And that wipes me out for a week. And I eventually decide to go, look, I should go to the doctors. So yeah, I've got some antibiotics and steroids. So basically my face is going to go bright red like last time and I'll start.
Love it. Can you make sure you've got the red cup on?
Yeah. But that is my week. But how are you doing? Is it week eight? Eddie Sutton's had 10 cups
just
of tea.
Like I seem to just spend my life. I finished my 8 mile recovery run before we recorded. I had a shower because I won't have time to shower. And I just put running stuff back on because I'm going to do another 5 miles later.
How long does your 8 mile take you? Sorry, I don't want to be coaching on you. How long does 8 mile?
Today it took me an hour and 10 minutes, I think. It's got about 1,000 feet. Just jogging.
Hours a red flag for me in a recovery run. Don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, like the you shouldn't really run over 40 minutes for recovery run. But as I'm training for a 200 mile race, if I was training for like a 5K or, you know, there's the recovery run, I'm not recovering from a hard session. Like, yes. It's just that was my short run of the week.
I do it. I'm not preaching. I used to do 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1.5 hour.
But I don't even look at my watch. I don't even have my watch on for these runs. For that one, I just put it on my Strava on my phone. And then I was just like, I'm just running up, I got the dog. So I dropped a kid at school, ran up 2 miles up the hill, picked the dogs up, ran up to where our track finishes, turned around and ran back. It happened to be 8 miles. That's how it happened.
I see.
There was no like I need to run 8 miles. Yesterday, I wanted to run 10 miles on trashed legs. So that was like 10, because I think like 10 miles is hard when you're tired. You can run like 4 or 5 miles. You can run like 7 miles.
Yeah.
10 miles just takes you into that, like, I need fuel. I need to keep moving. So yeah, so... and boy, am I slow. I am slow, but I am strong. So yeah, last week was still half term. They're back now. It's quiet. Yesterday I did quite a lot of sitting and going, I'm just going to reply to this email. And then I'd be like, oh, I can reply to this email and it can take me 20 minutes and that's okay. I can just take my time and, oh, I might have a cup of tea before I do this.
It's only about 6 weeks until they break up again.
Stop that talk. But mine only have like 4 days for Christmas because the way the French system works, so that's fine. The skiing will have started. I'll never see them then. Anyway, so I managed 80 miles while they're on half term, which I think I deserve a pat on the back. And also it rained from when we spoke until, still raining. It has not stopped raining. And then the rain turned to snow, which became problematic because above us, so we're at 1,200 meters. So 200 meters up the road, the trails are gone. They're now covered in snow. So it really hampers we have a track I can run on, but it's one track.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's seen some miles, Gary. So I did this. All my training was on this track for the whole.
I love your story. I loved your Strava bars. I saw, apart from last week where the mileage dipped a bit, but it was pretty consistent until even 60, 70, and then 80. Really good.
We're going to hit some 80, 90 weeks for the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to taper. But so I managed to fit in, like, I think I got about 13 hours of training plus 2 gym sessions in the end. I'm not boasting. I'm saying this was horrendously hard work. This was really, really hard. This wasn't just like, oh, this is easy. Look at me. I'm in a crop top and a cycling shorts. So fast. This was a grind. I was like hanging bras and leggings over hot rails, drying out gloves, staying, not showering, eating yogurts out of date yogurts, trying to get some fuel. Anyway, I managed to coordinate it all. The kids had a few sports stuff to do. So I managed to, like, I drop them and then be like, right, well, if I run home, it's 4 miles home, and then I'll wait and then I'll take the next ones. And then it's everything was like, and then because the weather's so bad, I'd be like, right, I need a coat in the car. I need change. I need an electrolyte. I need a recovery shake. Cause then I've got to drive up. So much brain admin.
Kudos, Eddie. That is hard. The energy just to make it all happen
exhausting. The energy just to make the plan when you'd be like, oh, shall I bother? But I was like, come on, focus. So I did a session. I think I'd done this when we chatted last week, 4 by 10 minutes. That was good. That was about my fastest running. I did 2 gyms. So I am now back to like doing quite big weights in the gym. Weird to do big weights when you're also doing high volume running, but this is my kind of strategy of this race, is the strength and the volume are going to count over any speed. It's just, I just need to be strong. And the resilience I'm building from doing this strength work plus the running volume, not just in my body, but in my head, of like how heinous those lifting heavy. So I've done it 3-4 times now, the lifting, run down to the gym, lift really heavy, eat a Velo Forte bar, turn around, and do an hour and a quarter.
It sounds like you see the gains, or feel the gains at least, quite quickly.
Yes, I've always done that, Gary. I shall tell you a story. I think it goes from being an athlete, like since I was eight, like because I've always done sport. So when I decided I was going to be a triathlete, and I went for my first long bike ride with my triathlon club I joined in London, 3 hours, like out into the Surrey Hills. I think I'd had my bike for like 2 weeks. I didn't take any fuel. I took a bottle of water. We rode for about 4 hours in the end. I absolutely bonked. One lovely guy stayed with me, and he literally had to push me into London on the way back and was like, you need to eat a Mars bar. And then I remember him feeding me a Mars bar. We got to Richmond Park. I lived a mile from Richmond Park. He had to feed me a Mars bar before he left me because he was so worried about me. And then within 2 weeks, we did that ride again with this guy. And I'd done like some turbos. I'd ridden probably like 10 times and I was in the pack, no problem. And he was like, oh my God, I just have a good response to a quick response to training. I get strong really quickly. Sadly, I don't get fast, but I do get strong really quickly. So these gym sessions, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I'm going to run down, I'm going to lift heavy weights, and then I'm going to run up hills and run home. Again, not for everybody, but I've done a lot of this sort of stuff. And the second time I messaged you, you were really mean. And you were like, get off your phone. And I was like, I just wanted to say hi.
That's only because I don't have any friends at the gym.
I just want to say hi, Gary. Get off the phone, get running. And then the third time I did it, I was like, so what happens as well when you do something really hard like this is the chimp at the front of your brain is like shaking its cage going, this is too hard. You can't do this. So then I get like really fiddly. I'm like, oh, I don't like this music. Oh, I don't like this podcast. Oh, my gloves. Oh, I stop. Oh, I should stop. What's that? Oh,
yeah.
And I'm not, which I need for this 200 to be like, I have to go to the Zen place because it's hours and hours and hours. I have to get in that place. So the first couple of times I really had to force myself to go into that, like nothing's going on. Which is funny because you'd think not a lot's going on up here anyway. But getting into that, like, you're here. Just you've got to accept, get that monkey to lie down and go to sleep, because you've got to accept you're here and stop fighting it. And the last couple of times I've come out the gym, first like 20 meters, I think, oh, please no one be watching.
I'm just glad my legs move when I run home from the gym. It's always quite a pleasant surprise.
Well, in some ways it's better because you don't sit in a car. So then by the time I get home, one, I'm so relieved it's done. But I'm also not so stiff. So, but yeah, now I come out the last time it was better. I didn't message you. I didn't message Bryn. I just was like, let's get this done. Let's get this done. And then yesterday I did it and I actually pinged. I was like, not pinged a muscle. I was actually pinging. The miles were reading more 8 something rather than 9 something.
Yes.
I was like happy. I was like, oh, I've got some knee lift. Yes, that it's doing its job. And also just my brain had that bit of like, how do I switch into that? Eddie the mom, Eddie the worker, Eddie the coach into Eddie the athlete, like switch that on, go to that. So that's, I'm happy. I'm really happy with that. And yes, then yesterday I introduced the step up to reverse lunge. I was so hot. I'm not sure I can make myself do it again.
I don't think I'm going to try that one.
I woke up this morning. I was like, how can I get out of bed? And actually, I mean, I have a constant fatigue in my legs, but there's no DOMS now. So I'm happy I will do that.
Yes.
And then the other big session, 20 miles running in. Oh my God, Gary. I went through 3 pairs of gloves. So I messaged James from the kit list going, this kit list, mandatory kit, says you have to have 4 sets, I think it is, 3 or 4 sets of gloves on you at all times.
At all times, wow.
I was like, is that right? And he was like, yes. I just got the reply, yes. So, but then in my long run, I went through 2 sets of gloves because after about like 2.5 hours, when all the blood goes from your extremities, putting on a freshie for the last half hour was a joy when my hands got, because it weren't that cold until the cold really set in. It didn't stop raining. It was raining. I can't even describe the alpine rain. And we were going through knee deep. Everyone knows because it's flooded in the UK, but it was like between snow and rain. It was just so miserable. Thank you so much to my friends came and joined me. Well, one's training for an ultra, but two were in their like off season. They didn't have to come and run all those miles with me. And also it was sad because we hadn't seen each other for a while because it'd been half term, but we had like caps, hoods, buffs. So you couldn't actually, one, I couldn't see anybody and you couldn't turn, like you couldn't talk because you can't, everyone just came, what, what?
So, and the I love me saying that. You send a text out and they all come
along. Who's in for some Eddie pun? And then because the weather was so bad and I don't know why, the rain brought out the hunters in big style. They were everywhere. I would have thought you wouldn't want to go and shoot things in the rain. Maybe no. You do because they're like cold and they're covering under bushes. Oh, they were everywhere. And so we couldn't run up past my house. So we were just doing laps. I got laps around town. I was like, I'm really sorry, guys. We're going to have to lap. We're going to have to lap this bit again. But we did it. We did it. And I knew, I was like, I can do this. So I left them in a car park. A mile and a half and 400 feet from home, I had to run back up to get home. But I knew at home, Bryn was making a nut loaf for roast and magic cookie bars.
Ooh, if you don't know what's in a magic cookie, yeah, don't.
You want to know what's in a magic cookie bar. It's smashed digestive biscuits, like a cheesecake base in a tray. Yeah. Then it's loads of those chocolate cooking... little, they're called peptide. What are they called in French? I can't remember. They little things that you'd like put on cupcakes or stuff. Okay. They're little chocolate bits, basically. Chocolate buttons, I guess you put it all over. Then you put nuts on the top. Then you put evaporated milk. Weird. And then you like caramelize it all together. Oh my God, Gary. It is so good. There's a rule of two in our house. Because they're
well, we're
so
at
good.
What's the diameter when you've made?
So then you have quite a small chunk because they are high needs, as I say. They are high needs. So two, I mean, one of the kids stretched to three, but he's pretty active and needed three. Yesterday it was a dark day, first day back at school. So he's like, I just need one more, Mum. I was like,
do you need a cup? Is it a cup of tea? Biscuits?
Oh yeah, you need moisture with it. Yes. Oh, that was so good. So yeah, that was good. I've decided my pack. I was going to wear my Salomon, which I've worn for, which I always wear, 10 litre Salomon. I could fit all the mandatory kit into it, but it was snug, but it felt a little bit, what does Salomon do with elastic? They put elastic in all the wrong places. It just felt like it was cheese grating my shoulders a bit. So then I tried my Montaigne spine pack, which is a 30 litre. That was too big. It was bouncing. Bryn was like, I think you'll find that's going to annoy you because it was sitting too low then as well and bouncing.
That's massive, 30 litres too, isn't it?
It was too, I know, but I thought, well, maybe that'll be easier. Like if it got really cold and I was moving really slow and you gave me a puffer and then like dawn broke and I got hot, it would be good to have space to like chuck stuff in. Right. Anyway, it was way too big. So then Bryn has a Montaigne 12 litre. So I tried that and that was brilliant. Then I saw that the Montaigne bag has really rubbish straps you put across there and they always fall off. And then once you lose them, when I did the spine, I got like extra ones in case I lost one. Anyway, then I saw some, I can't remember. So someone had got, you can buy from Salomon the elastic the system that they do on the front of their packs, which I really like. For a woman, they're brilliant because you can do them at different, so if it's over your boobs, basically you can pull it slightly less tight and then it's a really, really good system. So I spent the whole of Strictly Come Dancing taking the straps off the mountain and then matching the elastic bit, how you then get it onto the mountain. So I managed it. So if anybody needs help.
Andy Dobinson, one of our previous guests, he shared it with me. Exactly the same thing. My Montaigne vest, the little straps were falling off. It's fine a lot of the time, but I remember one I was supporting on a Bob Graham run. It was like 2 a.m. and I went to do my vest up and the strap had gone. And luckily it was just on the floor. But
then you're I've done the same. And then you're like, where? Oh my God, middle of the night. Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that, Gary, of me coming in and going, so I tried that with the pack. That's going to be my pack of choice. Love it. Along with my belt, that's got all my fuel in. That's going well. So that's good to know. And the weight, The weight, I mean, it's hard when you've done, like, the spine weight is so massive, but it is still, I haven't weighed it, but it's enough. I don't really notice it on the flat, but it's enough that when you go uphill, when we were running uphill, me and my mates, I would have to just get a little bit of glute activation to keep up. So it's not huge, but it's not nothing. So I'm pleased I've got that tied down. Last, so we love to chat about what we watch. And at the moment we are watching, it's not too bad, Traitors Australia.
Oh goodness.
There's something about the Australians in reality programs that just are brilliant. It is so good. If you can find it on your, I guess it's,
I think they're all Australians. They just seem to have like energy. I'm not too sure what it is, but they're all pretty much up and about.
And the people they've got on The Traitor, and I know there's another British season of The Traitors coming out, but they've got like amazing people. The guy that was like, who's got the longest time ever held in captivity, and he's on it, and all these, like, all these people that have done amazing things, but they don't tell each other they've done all these amazing things.
Okay.
And we're all watching it. It's so good that everybody's like, don't watch an episode if someone's got something on that evening. Like, no one is to watch it while I go and play football. It's so hard to find stuff. We always say that all the family can watch, that you're not going to either sit there going slightly red because of the inappropriateness, or the language is going to be like, you're,
I love shows like that because we've got such an age range in our house. I think for us, it's Race Across the World. We all love that.
Oh, vibe. Yeah. It's on that vibe, isn't it? The Traitors. It's the same sort of, like, you might hear the odd bomb, but really it's wholesome. And it's so nice to find something that everybody... Rexy, do you like The Traitors too?
Someone's making noise outside.
I love The Traitors. Anyway, yeah, so a good week, not perfect in any ways, but managed it, and fingers crossed, strong, not injured, and not fragile.
It's good. You've done it all. The massive juggle too. Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness, that's a gold star.
Is this enough? Is this enough? Am I doing the right thing? There's no like training plan for a 200-mile race, and I don't think there ever could be, because it's really in, like, you can get 100-mile, most people of what they're going to do for a 100-mile race, especially when they're sort of done a few, it's going to be quite similar, and you're going to have speed work in there, and you're going to have the longer sessions, and you're going to have the hill sessions. You're going to have the same sort of strength work, but a 200-mile race is not a double 100. It's not in any way. It's required, the strength it requires, the volume of running it requires, but you've got to get the balance between how much can I do and, as always, how much can I recover from? And I'm just, my HRV is totally stable, sadly. I'm like, oh, come on.
It's interesting about HRV, even though I feel rotten, similar to you, the HRV was saying I was fine, which is like really annoying.
I tell you one thing, for anyone that is perhaps training really hard, got a family, really busy, one thing that will, the only reason I can do all of this, not Bryn, obviously, because he's a living legend, is the amount of food that I have to put into the body and the planning of the eating and the meals, and that is like another training plan of like being on your calories, fueling every single run. So even my 8-mile run this morning, I took on 200 calories, 40 grams of carbs for just, even though I just had my breakfast and I was going to come home and eat, just to constantly eat the food every single 2-3 hours, another meal. And that's hard work in itself. And I reckon I'm probably eating about 3,500 calories a day at the moment. I was like, how do people that need like 5,000-6,000 calories, how do they eat it?
When I hear stories, people, when people are doing like FKTs, Appalachian Trail, and they're saying they're doing like 9,000 a day, it's like, oh my goodness. But even like Tour de France, I read somewhere about some of the calories those guys consume, and it's absolutely bonkers. But anyone who's listening and they're questioning a kit list, race directors, everyone I know has done races in the past and they know exactly what they're on about. So yeah, you think 4 gloves, is that necessary? But a 200-mile race in December. Yeah, yeah.
This week's Brew with the Coaches is a question from Patreon, Rob Youngston.
I have my first race soon, not an ultra, as I'm working my way up from not running at all 6 months ago to hopefully completing my first ultra in 2024. Anyway, I've just received my work schedule for taper week and I have a night shift finishing at 3 a.m. on Friday morning. Gutted. Then I will have to lie in a bit before driving with my one-year-old and partner the 3 hours up to the peak to prep for race day. Any tips on what I can do to minimize impact? What do you advise? Any changes to normal with that in mind? Who fancies starting? Good luck, yeah. Wow, that's super early. 3 a.m. and then the big drive. Oh
the fact
goodness.
He's got a one-year-old, I'm more worried about that. Yeah, feel your pain. Feel his pain. Drive with your one-year-old, buddy.
Emotional. That's the real endurance test right there, isn't it?
Yeah, wow.
It sounds like if you're doing night shifts, you're probably quite used to that, your circadian rhythm. Perhaps, Rebecca, you want to start with a bit of reassurance he's going to be okay.
Yes, I would agree. Having a one-year-old and doing night shifts means you're probably really adept at being sleep deprived. And I wouldn't worry too much about this. Obviously, safety and driving and all the rest of it, you do need to make sure you're safe if you're actually doing the driving. But yeah, I think... it's unfortunate how it's happened, but I think you're probably more than adequately prepared for it, given the fact that your sleep has probably been somewhat disturbed by having a small child and also doing the shift work you do anyway. So I'm not sure I would do anything particularly different. I think having some sleep as you said, in the morning, I think that's important. And think about sleep during the week before, in those sort of few days before that night shift. But other than that, I think you just have to sort of see how it goes on the day, and I'm sure everything will be fine.
Always love Rebecca in my ears. It'll all be fine. You'll be fine. The doctor says it will be fine. Trish, will he be fine?
Yeah, I definitely feel your pain. I mean, you know, the small kids, it's just, that's a true endurance test, isn't it? So yeah, well done. Well done for doing everything you've done so far. What a hero. I mean, you've done a great job. I would say, things you can do to minimize impact: rest as much as possible and get as much sleep as possible in the lead up to that night shift. So if you can do that, that's going to be great. And also prep as much as you can beforehand in the days going up, so you're not having to the day before or any last minute stuff. So, you know, even the week before, prep as much as you can, race stuff, what you're taking, what you're eating, all your fuel, your kit. Just get it all prepped in advance. Anything that you can do to minimize what you have to do on the day, and particularly with your kid as well, obviously taking it all. I know, like, there's a huge amount of stuff that comes with taking a small child anywhere. So again, prep as much as you can with that the day before. Just good luck. I think you're going to be great. You sound like you're doing an amazing job, just surviving, way better than me. So so well done. You're going to be great. Do as much as you can before, but you've shown you can do it. You'll be fine. You'll be, get up and get it done. You'll be great.
I think maybe book a nice little treat away for your partner as well for afterwards and say, darling, will you drive, please, on the way up so I can sleep? Tie it in with nap time for the one-year-old. Get in the car, get your eye mask on and your earphones on and try and sleep on the way up, and just ask your partner to drive up. I mean, maybe the old, and then say, I've booked you this lovely little spa break and I'll have the baby the weekend after, so that you don't have to drive up as well. But yeah, banking the sleep the week before, try to go to bed maybe an hour, 2 hours earlier. Even if you're not asleep, just lying in your bed as well. Don't know what your job is in your night shift, but maybe that's the night to slack off as well.
Unless you're on A&E, don't slack off. If you're on A&E,
don't slack off, but try and take it quiet. But I know there's loads of people that are shift workers that struggle with this. And gosh, I coach some people that are shit and they put their night shifts in. I don't know how their body, you must be constantly like, you must come home. And then, because my mum used to work, she was a nurse and she used to work nights. And I remember like dad being like, don't wake mum up for like the school run and stuff, because she'd come back and then need to sleep. It's so tough. So kudos to anybody that manages to work nights, have a family and train as well. I think the hardest work is done. I think you'll be absolutely fine. And this is quite late, I think. So Rob, you've probably done the race. Let us know.
Let us know. How did it go?
How the journey was.
We're all seeing it's going to be be fine. But it's quite amazing. You know, we do races, like Lincoln 100, I think, is an evening start. So you're not really getting great sleep before that race. It is surprising how much you can do on little sleep. And also as a shift worker, he probably has adapted to it over the years. Yeah, fingers crossed. Best of luck, Rob.
Love from the mud.
Love from the mud.
I think you will love our new feature already. You said it better than me.
How can we make mud rhyme with love?
That's what I was trying to do. As our Facebook page grows, every week there's something on there that either makes me laugh or I just love the engagement. I love the fact that actually people do listen to this, Gary, and it's not just you and me having enough. Well, I love our chats. I think we'd carry on with them anyway, wouldn't we? So I chose a couple of things to pull out to have a quick chat about. If you haven't read about them, you can then go over on Facebook, or perhaps you just have a little, you don't have time for Facebook. Who has time for Facebook? I always say that. And then I find myself on Facebook. Who has time for this? I don't have time for this. Anyway, a couple of things really made me chortle, or I thought would be quite useful for people to hear. First one was from Anita Rea, who laughed at my tale from my long run last week when my legs were so stiff that I couldn't bend down and I weed down my leg. And that prompted a discussion about wild wheeze. And she said she has a group of friends, and all they do is they send pictures to each other of views from the Wii. And I had to think about this. I was like, I could get on board with that. I'd like to be in that WhatsApp group of just views from the Wii. Better for a woman than a man, because I imagine a man's view from the Wii would just be a tree most cases.
I've had a couple of spectacular views, wild ways.
But as a guy, from what I see every single time I go running and men just feel they need to get their willy out and we're on the path right in front of me, and people just stop their cars. Like opposite our house is our garden. And people don't realise it's our garden. Why, it's so beautifully maintained. They just pull over and have a wee.
Oh, my goodness me.
Sometimes they just wee, like I can see it coming out.
Oh, that's terrible.
Anyway, but as a woman, you have to find a spot. So I just, it gives, it's not, men just seem to like stop. And also then you turn yourself away from the trail. Whereas we, I put a lot of thought into this.
We need to turn against the wind. Otherwise, it's a disaster.
We turn to face because at any point, if we're disturbed, we have to do the whip up of the trousers. Whereas you guys don't care because, as I've seen, you just carry on if somebody comes past. You're not actually, we have to expose full flesh.
Trail running normalized wild wing for me. I don't think I'd ever seen a girl wild wing until start of ultra races and stuff like that. It was like, wow,
of my parenting absolute successes that the kids, and especially my little girl, learning to do a wild wee without splashback and quick, efficient, and not being able to just a quick, oh, I need a wee, done. It's a good life skill. But yeah, interesting places that you've weed. I replied on this group that I love a wee around a chairlift, like at the top where you get off, because one, it's you can sort of hide behind the big pillars and they're normally under a roof so that if it's raining, you get a moment of dry. But also it makes me chortle then when I ski and I see like big queues of loads of people around a chairlift and I think, I wee bed.
Classic.
What about you? Where's been your best wee?
I remember a nice wee up Dale Head once. There was nobody about and it was super quiet. But Dale Head, bang for your bucks. It's like, you know, about a mile straight up from Honister. And on a nice day, you've got a wonderful view. Helvellyn, yeah, Fairfield.
Blogs are they not a bit exposed? Are they not tricky to find a spot for a...
Well, again, you know, I think men are a bit more relaxed about that kind of thing. And as long as nobody's about, we just whip it. If no one's about, we'll just whip it out. I might have even done one on Striden Edge that time when I was over there.
Yeah, I think my chairlift ones. I mean, I've had three children and I drink a lot of tea. It's not a good combination. So I would say that I wee definitely once most runs, if not four or five times in a bush. But maybe if you're listening, you've had some good wees. Maybe you too have a WhatsApp group of views from the week. Is this a calendar we could create?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Just have to be careful with the camera angle. You haven't got any stray.
I know. Goodness me, imagine that. Oh.
Anyway, that one chortled me. That's the comedy, Love from the Mud. The other one was somebody came onto our Facebook group. Let me find out the name of the author, Charlotte Muntford. She is, she listened to the podcast and she's going upcoming furthest distance she's ever going to run. She wanted some motivational quotes to get her through. She remembered from the podcast, be kind to your future self. Eat something if you're starting to feel crap. And then everybody came on with loads of amazing gems. Most people's along the line of eat something. If you're feeling bad, you're going to feel better. I'm just going to find the ones that I eat, drink, move. Like it's been said, Mark Radford, many times on the podcast, ultras aren't the same as a marathon. So you don't have the expectation of the time and the places. Just keep moving. Don't pause too much. Don't pause too much at aid station. Smile. Everybody says smile. Jonathan Zink says, don't be shit. That's his favorite. Grant Smalley, it hurts more to stop than it does to continue. That's always a really good one, I think, to imagine your future self. Not only be kind to your future self, but imagine your future self waking up the next day. How are you going to feel having not done it compared to how you're going to feel?
Yeah, but it's hard in that moment when you're feeling
It's very hard when you're feeling. Yeah. You have to force that out to yourself, don't you? Then there's Nemo. Someone's posted one saying, just keep swimming. And then Michelle Wise, the mantra I wrote down for myself after listening to the spine episode of the podcast this week was treat it as an adventure and the result will take care of itself. I think that's a really good one, especially if you're going for your first ultra as well. Like, or when I did the spine, it was my first foray into that really big distance. So almost kid yourself that it's going to be fun and it's going to be an adventure. But if you're looking for some, there's still so much, you could make a book. We could have Wild Wee Calendar with a motivational quote under each.
Well, a mantra is a bit different to a motivational quote. I cringe sometimes when somebody shares these motivational quotes on Facebook or Instagram, but yeah, mantras are a bit different, but I always fall back on that.
Do you not have something like tattooed on your wrist or something, Gary?
I will say to myself, and it's only literally, I just go push, push, push. That's all I do all the time. If I find myself walking, and it's like, I think on Lakeland 100 a couple of years ago, it was just like 1, 2, 3, go. And anytime I felt I was dithering, simple. Just a little kind of kick up, a verbal kick up the bum.
Often I'll count 50 if you're switching from you've got to get back into a jog and it's really painful mentally and physically. And I'm just like, nothing else. Count 50. I do use Courtney DeWalters. I was using it a lot on Sunday in the Alpine deluge of I'm fine. I'm fine. You're fine. Yeah. I'm fine. You're absolutely fine. You're in control. You're out. You're alive. You're breathing. You're fueling. You just don't want to be here, but you're absolutely
fine. But I do flip it. Sometimes if I'm not feeling fine, I'll visualize other runners aren't fine too, that it normalizes. It's okay that it, you know, it is a struggle. It's hard what we do. And so it's not a problem that way too. But yeah, be kind to your future self. That literally stuck with me like glue. I love it.
Good luck, Charlotte. Let us know how you get on. That was our Love from the Mud. Let us know what you think. Do you love it? If you're posting on Facebook, you never know. I could pull you out. Suppose I should have asked permission from these authors. I'm plagiarizing their work.
Data
breaching. Right, let's get Basil on the show. He's got some good, important chat to share with us.
Yeah, this is super serious, actually. So Basil Haney from Into Ultra. Now, Into Ultra helps get more people into ultra running by covering the costs for those less able to afford it. Granted, this podcast being about trail and ultra running, we are preaching to the converted. But yeah, you might know somebody who doesn't do it and you might think they'd be interested. But yeah, financial reasons might be a barrier to why they're not doing ultra running. Yeah, I enjoyed our chat with Basil. I hope you do too.
We are delighted to welcome Basil Haney from Into Ultra onto the podcast. Into Ultra is all about helping anyone and everyone to get into ultra. This is a relatively new setup and Basil's going to tell us all about it. But doing our research into not only Into Ultra, but also into one of the founding members, Basil, we have found perhaps the hardcore guy of ultras, this guy that we're going to talk to. He's not only done everything, he's done it like twice, backwards, three-legged, all at once. You've done an Ironman. You've done a double Ironman.
I mean, what the hell? You've done every single ultra that when you think, oh my God, no, I can never do that. Oh my God, that looks awful. Basil's probably done it once, twice, three times. He's a prolific hardcore racer, can I say that? So welcome to the show.
Well, welcome. Doesn't sound that prolific to me, but there we are.
It's incredible. We always start our interviews in the same way. Where are you? What's the view from your window? And have you been for a run today?
Where am I? I'm in just near Farnham, just next to where the Winter Downs 200 is passing at home. A view out the window is lovely. It's sunny and bright in the middle of October, which doesn't seem quite right. It should be rainy and wet, but there we are. And this morning I did go for a run on a track because I'm doing a track 100 later on in the month.
No, just for fun.
So I thought I'd get used to running on a track.
What the hell? But you're going to be towing the line with me at the Winter 200. You just can't slip that into me.
It was just there. So I thought I'd better. I just fancied it.
So the timing for the track, that is before the 200.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me.
How much time is there between the track 100 and Winter
200? About 4 or 5 weeks, I think. Six weeks.
Have you done a track 100 before?
No, I've never done anything. The only time I'd run on the track was at the end of the South Downs 50 and 100 when I've done it before. It's a little three-quarter loop. And actually, Neil Bryan, who's one of the Centurion coaches, said, you ought to probably just go and run on a track just to see what it's like. And actually, the biggest learning I've had so far is it's quite boring, really, isn't it?
Probably as well as some of the races that you've done, it is probably perhaps not going to be the one that you're going to take home the pictures for your movie of. Tell us a little bit, just run us through your race CV.
Well, can we rewind a bit? I'm really curious. Sorry, Basil, I'm just really curious. Are you coach? Would a coach recommend a track 100 than a 200 miler?
Damien's Hall's one of the people on Into Ultra. And I've spoken to him a few times the last few weeks, and he absolutely horrified the amount of running I'm doing. But I am coached by Neil Bryant at Centurion, who Eddie, I'm sure, knows. He discourages me from doing too much. But the thing is, I do the training, but I enjoy the events more than the training. So I just tend to try and pack them in. And when I do an event, I don't absolutely thrash it. So I've got a bit left in the tank when I finish. So yeah, that's how I kind of pack lots in, is just not pushing it too hard.
Let's rewind back. Where did you find ultra running?
So it sounds like a kind of midlife crisis on steroids, doesn't it? So about 15 years ago, actually, a friend was doing a marathon, never done a marathon, just given up smoking. I thought, oh, I'll try a marathon. Tried that. Thought, oh, that's all right. What next? Ironman. Oh, what next? Double Ironman. And then after a while, I wasn't very good at the swimming and the cycling, yeah. And I enjoyed the running. swimming is pretty dull, really, isn't it? The view's not quite the same from a swimming pool as it is from somewhere in the Lake District. So I did lots more ultra running. I think my first long one was Thames Path 100 in 2014 or something like that. Miserable, really suffered, struggled to finish it. And then over the years, I've just kind of done lots more. And I kind of found a home with the sort of the long, gnarly 200 miler stuff, the hillier the better, except the track 100 I'm doing. And I just like, you know, doing lots of them. So this year I've got, I did Spine in January. Eddie was there. I didn't finish. Eddie did finish. Well done, Eddie. I'm going back next January because I didn't finish this January.
No. My cortisol is going through. So you're doing the Winter 200 as just a little preparation.
Winter 200 is like, I couldn't not do it because it went past my door and I'd already signed up to the Spine at that point. So, you know, didn't really have a choice. As I say, Eddie, I can see that you're not going to be my next coach, are you?
It just gives me anxiety.
I just can't get my head around because I'm going to mention the Dragon's Back Race again, but I am just not ready for anything. I'm scared of doing cross country this weekend. And the thought of Tona being on the start line for a race like the Spine so soon after the 200 miler, I just can't get it.
I think you raced, by the sounds of what I heard when I listened to the podcast, Gary, I think you raced the Dragon's Back hard. I think, you know, I just tend to just not quite do them, you know, because I'm mid-pack. And so the difference between 100th and 80th place kind of just doesn't matter that much. You know, I much prefer kind of enjoy the journey. So kind of, you know, this year I'd Spine, Winter Downs 200 Spine next year. Northern Traverse in April. That's a fan race, Eddie. Good choice. And then I did Tour de Gion about 4 weeks ago.
How did that go?
That is absolutely fantastic. You missed a treat.
Oh, well, I've seen a sixth of it.
It was fantastic. I towed the line last year and I got to within about 20 kilometres of the end, went into a hut to have a quick sleep, came out and it put down about a foot of snow. And so they stopped the race. So that was last year. So I had to kind of go. I got the finisher's T-shirt.
Well done.
I didn't cross the finish line. So I had to kind of go back to get that last.
Yeah.
20 kilometres finished. Absolutely brilliant race. Don't tell anybody because it's like it sells out in the ballot, but it is absolutely fantastic race. If you like long, gnarly, five-day type of adventure.
And you like just going uphill, basically.
Yeah. Well, you should love it. You should love it living in Morzine.
I saw, I totally get it. I was like, this is... Because it almost looks like something that you should fear in some ways. When I looked at it, I was like... But actually, the surroundings are so beautiful and the climbs, though they are... so long, they're quite different to the alpine climbs that we've got around here. It's very different terrain. I almost found it, I don't want to cheat on my local hills, but so because they're so long, the beauty, like, and all the different bits that I loved, all that, all the different bits that you
as
climb
you go up through the different terrains. So I mean, some of the, I think the longest climb was up to Col Lausanne, which kind of did 3,300 meters, so it's really high. I had to go really slow at the top because of altitude. I think it took me like 5 hours to get
the
valley to the top of the climb. Probably the last 200 meters took me an hour because it was going so slowly. But then again, if you're mid-pack, there's no hurry. Take your time, enjoy the view. The weather was lovely. Underfoot conditions, absolute treat. You know, it's like chalk and cheese compared to the spine race.
I mean, really,
of the time.
Yeah, I can't do TGG. I was thinking because I was like, I'd be really like, it's up high. What happens if you fall asleep? Like I did in this, like, and you fall off. But actually, the paths are like. It is a hiking path, most of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of it, you're pretty secure. You know, don't stop on the top of the col, get off with your wits about you. Yeah. And then most of it, you are actually pretty secure and it's so well marked.
Yeah, I worked out they must have put like 30, 40, 50,000 flags out on the course to mark it.
You
cannot get lost. So if you don't like navigation, it's a real treat.
But is that why it was called off? Because the snow had covered the flags, was that?
Exactly. Yeah, it was up at what was called Col Malartre, which is one of those rocky moonscapes. And in that sort of thing, you don't get a kind of a ledge where the path goes. It's flat. And so if you can't see the flags and you can't actually see where the pass is because just basically for safety reasons, they closed it.
I used to live in Windlesham, so not a million miles away from Farnham.
Oh, yeah.
Not many mountains around there. What do you do to get ready for a race like Tour de Gion?
I do a lot of other events. So actually, I've probably been up in the... This year, I've been up... I did Great Lake in 3 days. All again, nice, slowly, steadily, on light, a failed Bob Graham. I did UTS, which obviously really, really hilly one in North Wales. So I just do lots of events to do it and then lots of squats and stuff and then go slowly. Well, go quite slowly. I'm not trying to win.
And are you okay when you do this? Because a couple of times, like you just mentioned a failed Bob Graham, you happy going into it going... If this doesn't work, I'm happy to not finish. It's not.
Because
Gary and I will obviously, if we DNF, it will take us 4 years.
I'll be crying myself.
You talk about my CV of races. I probably have a world leading CV of DNFs. I've DNF'd Dragon's Back. I've DNF'd Lakeland 100 a couple of times. I DNF'd Tour de Gion. I've DNF'd Northern Traverse, I've DNF'd Cape Wrath Ultra. If it happens, it happens. So I'm kind of, in a sense, because I can do lots of them and I go back again. If I don't finish, I don't finish.
Do you think you'll go back to the Bob?
Oh, yes. I've tried it twice now and my excuse is the weather was awful. It was pretty awful. But I've got to go back. I need to be a bit quicker, give it another go. And hopefully the weather whether on my side, then yeah, it's got to be done really, hasn't it?
Maybe
yeah,
not a crossed. Track 100 like the week before or something no, like maybe. That. Just give yourself like a weekend.
Maybe 3 weeks between them.
Yeah, just give yourself a weekend before just to get your stuff ready.
Yeah,
it sounds like one of our Brew with the Coaches questions.
Yeah, you don't send in a question.
Yeah, yeah, don't. Oh my God. Don't ask your coach. Don't ask your coaches for advice on it. They'll say no. If you want to know my kind of craziest one like that was, and I can't remember how this turned out, but it did have done in 2020, I did the spine and I'd also signed up to the Arc of Attrition, the 100 miler 2 weeks later. And so I've managed to do those two back to back, which I'm apparently still the only person foolish enough.
Yes, we read that. We read that before you joined, that you're the only person to have done. I mean, how did you get mentally, how did you get yourself around that 2 weeks later?
I was one of the very, very, very last finishers. I think actually to halfway, I was last placed of anybody who finished. And I just kind of just pacing yourself, I'm a bit of an Excel spreadsheet nerd. So I knew exactly what I needed to do to kind of come within. In a sense, because it was something a little bit unique, actually that probably kept me going. I would have DNF'd probably without that little prize. At the end of it,
it's a good prize. I don't think that will be taken away from you for now.
Should we talk about Into Ultra? Yeah, I'm super curious, super keen. I've seen it pop up my timeline a few times, which is great that it's getting some exposure. Could you tell us about this project?
Yeah, so this was a kind of probably back end of last year, early this year. A few of us kind of were talking about, you know, what we can kind of give back to ultra running. And the obvious thing was kind of, you know, looking at improving inclusion, accessibility. And if you look at start lines, I don't know whether this is probably going out audio, but the start lines look probably most people look like me, sort of, you know, white, male, you know, reasonably well off.
Good looking.
Well, you're talking to Gary there. So we're thinking about, you know, what can we do? There's lots of, I think over the last two or three years, lots of really good stuff has been being done in ultra running on improving ethnicity and gender diversity. So she races, black trail runs, etc. There is quite a lot of bits and pieces being done on people kind of who can't afford to get into ultra, but they're kind of limited. They're kind of quite local. And we thought there was, you know, something that we could do to sort of help people who couldn't afford to get into ultra running to do it. You know, it's not mega expensive. It's not like triathlon where you've got to buy a carbon fiber bike, but, you know, you've got to get a reasonable pair of shoes. You've got to get to do any sort of, you know, sort of fellish type races. You need the right, you know, tape seamed waterproof top and probably bottoms as well. You need a running rucksack, not huge sums of money to a lot of us, but to some people, that's a barrier to getting in. So we were thinking about what can we do. So we launched in April, about 6 months ago. Actually, the first thing that happened when we kind of launched was we just got deluged with sort of, you know, race organizers, coaches saying, we love the idea. What can we do to help? We can offer free race spaces or free coaching places or free kit. Actually, there's a great organization called Kit Squad. Everybody take a look at it.
I didn't know that till today when I was looking into.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So they take in kit, obviously from people like us, and handed out to people, typically people on benefits, but they also handed out for free to Into Ultra runners. Fantastic. I mean, you know, it's got all the sort of the eco benefits of it, but it allows lots of people who can't get into outdoor activities. It's not just ultra running, it's all outdoor activities too. So we partnered with them. Anyway, so we got lots of people coming and offering us sort of free support. So we're about, I'd say it's about 6 months in now. We have about 100 partners across a whole range of things that they're offering, many races, many coaches. We're now supporting over about 40 runners. Some of them, it's just a race play. Some it's a coaching slot for several months. Some might just be a bit of advice and support, some a bit of kit, some a vest. One of the really kind of satisfying things is almost half of the people we support are female as well. So we're improving kind of gender diversity too. We started running a series of webinars on nutrition, psychology, navigation, and things like that to help those runners and to do, you know, specific stuff for those. So that's kind of what we've done. So we're kind of pretty chuffed about, you know, where we've got to. Next up for us, we're registering as a charity, and then we can take in donations and grants and maybe sponsorship too. That's kind of what we've done. Great journey. We've made a few mistakes along the way, but hopefully we're kind of getting there. And, you know, once we've got the charity registration, hopefully we'll be able to scale it up a bit more and help, you know, lots more runners, basically.
What, with sort of being slightly generic, maybe, is you say you have 40 people of, perhaps first, before I ask that, how do people approach you to ask for help?
Take a look at the website. It's probably got it all on there. Basically, what we ask on the website is that people email us to apply@intoultra.org.uk. Tell us a little bit about who they are, what their running journey is, what they'd like to do, and a little bit about their sort of financial situation, because we need to make sure that obviously we're handing out, you know, we're buying some things for these people, and we're also handing out, you know, the time of race coaches and the places of race organizers. We need to make sure that, you know, they are facing, you know, genuine financial disadvantage. So we ask them to write to us. We then take a look at it and decide who we support, we don't support. And we, once we agree to support somebody, we'll then either put them in contact with the coach that they need, or we'll get the race place that they want to do. So that's the, we're in a sense, one sense, we're a kind of matchmaker. We're Tinder for ultra, basically pairing up, you know, people who would like to get into ultra running with coaches and races and course organizers who are offering sort of free support. So it's a mixed, you know, it's quite a mixture of different things we're doing.
Do you have an outreach program?
We have actually. What one of the, I mean, I should, by the way, say it's not just only me. There's a team of six of us. So a couple of names you probably know, Damien Hall's in there. James Elson's in there. Shirin Shabastri, who is somebody that Damien coaches. She helps a lot with the applications and deciding on the applications. Paula Radford, who runs Camino Ultra in London. She's on board in particular because they do a lot of this already. Sort of stuff with Camino Ultra before. And Baljit, who's a solicitor, who's absolutely fantastic because he basically makes sure that what we're doing and our charity registration all works. And we've got a bunch of other people who in time hopefully will join as well to support the other things that we need. So onto outreach, that's actually one of our biggest challenges, because what we're trying to do here is not reach the ultra running. We obviously want to tell the ultra running community about what we're doing. But actually, equally important, we want to talk to people who aren't in ultra running at the moment, but would like to get in and can't get in. And actually, that's a bit more of a challenge for us. Luckily, a certain Mr. Damien Hall is a journalist for Runner's World. So we've actually had a few articles in Runner's World to date. And every time we have an article in Runner's World, there's a peak in applications. And this is one of the things that I think one of our biggest challenges is, you know, through podcasts like yourself and through other things, we can reach the ultra running community, but we need to go, you know, we need to reach the parts that other beers cannot reach.
Yeah, but perhaps as well, there might be people that they are blessed with having the time and the money to be able to do ultra running, but they might, you know, have a friend on the school run who says, "Oh, I would never be able to do that because I haven't been able to go back to work because I've got the kids, but I'd love to do that 50K." And you go, "Well, let's match
absolutely. So, you know, if people out there know other people who they think will support, it might be a local, you know, community group they know that actually is a running community group. There might be some people in there who might need it. Please, you know, point us in them in our direction, basically. Yeah, outreach is, back to Gary's point, outreach, I think, is something I don't, when this is the kind of the learning journey we're going on to. I think 6 months ago, if you said the word outreach to me, I probably wouldn't know what you were talking about.
I didn't either. I thought, oh, Gary, that's very,
but actually, it's something that is going to be a real challenge for us. You know, ultimately, we probably need, you know, if you look at the people who are on the Into Ultra team, they're all ultra runners. We need somebody who's not an ultra runner, you know. Mo Farah, if you're listening, Paula Radford, if you're listening.
Well, I thought you were going to say Paula Radford when you said Paula. I was like, oh, this is great.
But even people who aren't connected with running, maybe, you know, I look at my local school. I know school children, I think you probably have to be 18 to enter most races. But how do you connect with people who don't even think running's a possibility? It's a super, super tough question.
Yeah. When people give us the applications, they explain their running journeys and some of the stories they tell us of how, you know, it's helped their mental health. They've, you know, maybe had suicide attempts and other things, and running just became their me time and their ability just to get through all of this, you know, absolutely tear jerking stuff. But yeah, it's, you don't have, the great thing about ultra running is you don't have to be a great athlete to do it. You don't worry about times and PBs and stuff. You just go out and enjoy the outdoors. I mean, you know, it would be great if we can reach, you know, much, much further than the traditional running communities as well.
Can you give us a little, perhaps, a sort of generic example of the sort of people that you're helping? Have you got any success stories yet that you can share with us?
Somebody who came into running, let me pick up one that I was doing last night. Somebody came into running 2 or 3 years ago, done a half marathon, one marathon, would like to get into ultra running, but doesn't have the right kit. They've got a pair of road shoes, but they don't have a waterproof jacket. They may have seen a 50K ultra locally, which they signed up to, or they may have volunteered at it, which is one great way of obviously getting free race places to volunteer, and they give a race place back, but they don't have a waterproof jacket to be able to do it. Now, Kit Squad can provide that waterproof jacket. It allows them to do it. Maybe they'll come back to us and say, oh, I ran in a pair of road shoes. I slipped over everywhere. It'd be great if you could provide us a pair of trail shoes. We've actually Innovate, one of our sponsors, and supports us, and they provide some free shoes to our runners. So that's the type of thing. Often it's not just a one-off help. It's like we do a little bit and then they come back and say, I've tried that, now I'd like to try something else. It varies, as I say, you know, male and female. I think we've got about one in six are, you know, a sort of non-white as well. So we've got reasonable ethnic diversity as well. Probably, I think the youngest is probably 21. If I remember, oldest is 65. We've had two people who were supporting who recently had a Parkinson's diagnosis as well, which is great, because if you get Parkinson's, not only do you need a bit of extra coaching and you need some extra physio, but actually your income might go down, and therefore actually, so you may have been a runner before Parkinson's, but actually you can't afford to be an ultra running with Parkinson's because you've got all these other things going on. So it's kind of quite a diverse group. I think, you know, having been in ultra running for years myself, it's quite surprising the diversity you get. Yeah. As I say, quite tear jerking sometimes.
And this, we talked about this when we chatted a few weeks ago, that this isn't a means tested. It's not like when you sort of looking for grants and stuff, you're not going asking for people's financial records you just want their story, don't you? You want to hear their why.
You know, we thought about for instance, Kit Squad normally, when it asks for donations, I think they ask for people on benefits. So we don't put in that sort of test in ourselves. We felt that having that testing was a bit crude. And I think also then to ask people for that information, it's a bit intrusive. And bear in mind, you know, that the level of support we're given is not thousands of pounds or anything like that. It's smaller than that. It may be that in time, particularly, let's say we were giving somebody £1,000, £2,000 of support, maybe we would ask for it in the future. But we've got to kind of come up with this balance about not making it, you know, these people have got a barrier, a financial barrier to get in. We shouldn't then be creating yet another barrier, kind of admin barrier. Sort of keeping them away from ultra running. But we've got to find a balance, because we've got to make sure, particularly when we're giving away other people's money, either donate, you know, a race place or cash or whatever, or kit, we've got to make sure that they are, you know, genuinely deserving of it. So there's a balance to be had. And that's, you know, the balance we're trying to find. And say, you know, we've made a few mistakes along the way, and hopefully we're learning from them. And, you know, we'll make fewer of those mistakes going forward.
It's just like an ultra.
Is it a full range of race distances? You know, maybe somebody's sitting there thinking, I'd love to do a 200 miler, but no way they're going to support that. Is there a limit?
We say into ultra, because that thinks maybe, you know, ultra distance, you know, 50K is the minimum. In reality, if somebody came to us and said, I'd like to do a 50K, but before that, I'd like to do a 30K, we'd probably help them on the 30K, because that's the path into longer. At the top end, our focus is, and it's not just through with our name, but our focus is trying to get people into ultra running. So typically they'll enter at there's one guy who's come in and said, never done an ultra before, I want my first one to be a 100 miler. Well, you know, good on him. Not for everybody. I don't think even a 200, even me in my early days, that would have gone for a 200 miler as an entry into ultra running. And that would have been an absolute mess if I did. We haven't done the top end. The other thing about the top end is they tend to be more expensive. And we have limited funds. And obviously the race places that we've got are limited, and they need lots of kit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot more money. It may be that in time, it may be that for a few races, we do a partnership with a particular race that you know, we package up. We maybe say, look, we've got one place on race X, which is, say, 200 miles, and basically ask people to apply just for that race. And in that case, we may say, look, can you provide us some evidence of being on benefits? And then we may provide the free race place, some coaching and some kit to go with it or something. But that's probably down the line. For the moment, we're more in the sort of the 50K to 100 mile sort of space.
Yeah, don't let you get on board chatting to any of them at all. It's probably keep you on podcast duty.
It's a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. You can just end up doing all these 200 miles just because they're there.
Just because it passed your door.
If there is any race directors or brands out there that might be thinking, well, I could support this, what's the best thing for those guys to do?
Okay, so There are some. Obviously, people come to us and say, I like to do X race. In some cases, they're one of our partners already. In other cases, they're not. If somebody would like to kind of proactively come and offer it, so if they can just email us at info@interultra.org.uk, what we can do is then we can send something out just explaining how we work with our different partners, you know, what we do, what they do, how it works, how we, for instance, check applicants to make sure that they're appropriate applicants. Do that and we can set something up fairly quickly. It's at the moment a fairly low admin type of arrangement. The most complicated thing we have is my Excel spreadsheet, which has a list of all the partners on. At some point we'll progress and do a bit more, but it's fairly straightforward. What the other thing we like to do is, you know, they can promote Into Ultra. We also promote each one of our partners as well on our website and give them a shout out. So yeah, if you'd like to support us, please do get in contact.
I love that all these new ideas are set up by ultra runners who want to give back. It's such a wonderful community that the Black Trail Runners that she races, that Into Ultra Runner is. We could so easily just do the races and shout about it and put it on Strava and wait for kudos and stuff. But people giving up their time to go, no, we want everyone to experience the terrible.
I'm trying to work out whether it's that people who want to give back go into ultra running, or whether once people go into ultra running, they want to give back. I don't know which way around it is, but I mean, it shows us to us, you know, as I said, we were deluged with, you know, we'd love to help you with this project when we launch. I don't think you get that if you're doing triathlon or canoeing or climbing. I'm not trying to, you know, rubbish other sports, but I think there's something.
The emails are going to come flying in, Basil.
Our community.
British triathlon.
You might cut that bit out. I don't know. But, you know, I think there is just something. And it's because I think it's to do with people aren't competing against each other. Everybody's there to help everybody else get to the end. There's loads of other volunteers there as well who are immediately, you know, giving back. And it means that people want to support each other. I think the
impact as well that ultra running has on your life. It's such a, even though the races can be so detrimental and terrible to your health and body, but what it gives you both mentally, what it gives you for the rest of your life is you can't put money to that. Strength it gives you to cope with other aspects of your life, what you feel you can then achieve. And I think that's probably as well what drives a lot of us to go, guys, you need to come here, you need to do this, because it makes the rest of life not seem nearly as hard if you've been
it seems an odd message to begin. Come and put yourself in grueling pain for 20 hours. It's really good, really it is. We'll make you a better person.
Hello, make you a better person. You keep banging that drum. So where do you see Into Ultra going? I mean, it's been like with anything that's a great idea and a great concept, it's gone and grown very quickly and rapidly, and you're probably catching up with everything. But where do you sort of see it going in the next sort of 5 years, maybe?
I mean, funnily enough, that's one thing we haven't had a strategy planning meeting or anything.
Okay,
anything
do
like
you want me to head
a strategy?
I could be strategic.
So I think, you know, the next 2 weeks is about the furthest. I think that the main thing I think we would probably want to do is scale it up. We know we're helping 40 people. We've done that.
You want to stay UK based, though. I heard that
UK. We do actually every now and then get, you know, requests for help from abroad. We say, sorry, we're definitely, this isn't a Brexit thing, by the way. We just want to do the, in part because I think to make this happen, you need to know your community.
Absolutely.
And so it's very difficult. I couldn't do this in.
You could sell the model for a little bit more financially, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, you know, we'll happily give a kind of a, you know, if anybody in France wants to do it, Eddie, if you want to do it, or, you know, the US, where we'll happily explain what we've done and how we've done it. There are actually, in the US, there are three schemes that do bits of what we do, but not the whole breadth of what we do. So I think the biggest thing is scaling it up, and that's going to take, in order to do that, we need to outreach more and reach more people. We need to get more financial kind of income coming in order to cover some of the costs. We're probably going to have to scale up the team a little bit. Oh, by the way, quick shout out. One thing in the team we're currently missing is somebody who can do social media. I'm just too old. I'll give you a clue. I'm too old to do social media.
We did look at your Instagram going, "This we need. He needs a story every day." This.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much. Eddie, so if somebody no, I'm not suggesting Eddie. No. But thank you for pointing out that there's a need there. Well spotted. If somebody's out there got maybe half an hour spare a week and would like to help our project and knows the social media space, we will be so happy.
15-year-old boy who's incredibly quick. Yeah, whip that one up for you. Mum, exactly. I've added music. I've edited it all together. Off you go. Oh, that would have taken me all day.
And yeah, exactly. By the way, if you want to know how poor my IT skills are, just take a look at our website. It's a bit sort of, 10 years old.
No, it's not.
So anyway, well, how did I get on to that?
We were talking about where we're going.
So as we get bigger, as you say, we're setting up as a charity. We've got three trustees that we'll start with. We'll probably need more trustees, probably need more help or with somebody with a bit of financial background, a bit of more IT database background, because if you've got that many people, an Excel spreadsheet ain't gonna do the job of managing all. So as we scale up, we need some more things. We'll probably add some things. We might start running taster courses to help the people we're supporting, more advice, more webinars. One of the ideas I've got is a bit of a kind of a clinic thing where if you've got a question that you just want, a coach or somebody who's does lots of ultra running to give you a quick opinion on or thoughts on, how should I do this? How should I do that? What's a good race to go for? Come and ask us. Because actually for some of these people, they're outside ultra running. They may well be outside running. They don't know where to start. And they've got so many things to worry about. And actually you don't need to be, a fully trained certified coach to give somebody a little bit of advice on how to, what route to take in, what are the most important bits of kit to get, first of all. And I think, helping people with their confidence as well as their skills kind of will do it. So I think we'll expand what we do in terms of numbers, and we'll expand what we do in terms of kind of the support that we provide. And then who knows, we might in a year's time come up with some harebrained idea and do something different. We might do a 200 miler. If you'd like to apply, Gary?
Nope.
Well, I think it's amazing. I always so greatly admire anybody that comes up with a harebrained idea and then follows it through and then puts themselves out there all for the love of the sport. That's absolutely amazing. And
there's so many barriers. And for people to actually put the hand up and do it. Yeah, like Eddie said, it's amazing. I love it.
I have to admit, I'm lucky. I don't work full time at the moment, so we got enough time to put into it. And it seems, I couldn't think of anything. Getting people to do what I love doing, that seemed like a pretty fun thing to do, basically, from my perspective.
Oh, you need people like you in the world, absolutely, that have that little bit of time. You're just like my dad, a little bit of extra time, and then all sorts of trouble happens. Created this, don't worry, it's a spreadsheet. Here we go, off we go. So our final question for you was about you. We were going to ask what's next on your race calendar, but it's filled us with so much fear. So instead of asking that, I'm going to ask, how are you going to manage your track 100 and then your winter downs? What will you do in between those two races? Are you kind of a person that after 100 miler the next day you can go jogging?
Well, after Tour de Gy, I took about a week off and then got into really light jogging. And then I did about 2 weeks after Tour de Gy, I did do a trail marathon. So it takes me about that long to kind of get back on my feet. So I'll probably take a 3 or 4 days off after the track 100, unless it may be that I can see a kind of a PB there and I'll really crank it out. And if I crank it out, maybe I'll take 2 weeks off. I don't know. One of the great things about not having a lot of time in between events is you don't get big dips in your fitness. So, I'll just carry my fitness from one into the other.
Tell me your thoughts, final winter downs. Tell me your thoughts on the route. Give me any intel. How's that North Downs Way section looking? I guess.
I, I, I think, I mean, it's great. It's a fantastic route that that James the Centurion put together, because it does the best bits of the Ryan. Great that it passes just like 2 miles down the road from where I live, which is just perfect. It would be, I think, one of the very few times I've been crewed for one stop, basically. And it's quite, I probably run at some point two thirds, three quarters of it.
Yes.
I think for me, the biggest concern is just probably keeping my feet in good condition, because it's probably going to be 60, 70 hours. And if it's been raining, I think it's going to be wet at times. And so, you know, is it waterproof socks? And if it's waterproof socks, it might be too hot and you have waterproof socks and you get
wet. Are you having a crew or are you doing this solo?
I'll do it solo. But apart from the car park in Farnham, where hopefully somebody from my family will come out with a nice chili con carne. Or
Two round at yours. Is that what
Actually, somebody asked me, isn't it a bit tempting, your house being so close? Because it comes at about 170 miles in. Oh. Is it a bit tempting? Just turn left and go 2 miles, home and a bed. So anyway,
hopefully when you pass that bit, though, you're going to be so out of it that you'll just be like, no, I've got to get to finish. Got to get to the finish. Can't stop. Rather than, you just have to leave that notice for all your family. Do not let me in the house.
That'd be super tempting. 170 miles. Oh my goodness me.
It would be.
I think you so want to 170. You so want to finish by then. You really that mental, like, nothing's going to stop me apart from a bull.
Is this the first year it's happened? The 200.
It is. Yeah. It's the first. James put it together like in April, May, or something like that. I think the other thing for me, but this is because I'm not crewed, is trying to work out where you, because they're really long gaps, like 15 hours between the kind of the life bases or whatever.
What are the rules though, Basil? If you just, you know, you see me in a lay-by, am I allowed to give you a snicker or?
Yes, please.
Oh, look at him, like my dog.
We're definitely going to become friends on Facebook, Gary. The problem is there though, is I'm going to have to kind of keep up with Eddie. In order that you're still in that lay-by and haven't moved on to the next one.
All the other way around. We don't know. We don't know how.
I think, let's be realistic, Eddie. It's going to be me trying to catch up you, not the other way around.
She's only 40 miles ahead. You got this. The stick is there.
So anyway, assuming I don't keep up with Eddie and can use Gary as my crew, one of the things is planning where you get water and you kind of get just a break. Because if the weather's miserable, you just want to get out of the elements for.
Have you got that spreadsheet that someone set up with all the?
Yes, I have. I've fed in a little one. I fed. There's a petrol station in Alton that's open 24 hours a day, which I'll be coming through at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, which is just perfect.
It's just so exciting. A petrol station, a co-op.
Oh, we're easily satisfied, aren't we?
That reminds me of coming back from the pub.
A meal deal. Get cheese and pickle sandwich and a
co-op.
Cotton, stop it. Right, we've completely digressed. Are you happy that we've covered everything that you want, that you would like to chat about? Is it?
Yeah, that's great. And it's good to have a chat and good to get the message out about Into Ultra. So, you know, if people take a look at our website, see what's there, see, you know, they're interested, they help, or just follow us and then we can keep you updated with what we're doing when we have a new social media person.
I'm absolutely sure of our tens of thousands of downloads. Yeah. Somebody will be listening going, I love the gram. Yeah. I cannot get enough of social media. And I would like to put these skills to good
use. It's got to be somebody out there, surely. Surely.
So just to be clear, the position, like all of ours, the position is totally unpaid.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's just like our podcast job, totally unpaid. As my mother always says, you'll be rewarded. Ordered in heaven. Right, we won't let you go without your quick five. The moment.
Oh, I was dreading this because anyway.
Oh, don't. It's the best bit.
Because I don't know what's coming up. Go on, far away.
Okay, your lowest low of any race you have done.
One of my worst ones was my very first one, Thames Path 100. It was that year, Eddie. I don't really remember.
The flooded year.
It was flooded, and so you couldn't get. It was water was everywhere. I got wet feet about 20 miles in. I think I was wearing cotton socks. It's a learning process, ultra running. I learned not to wear cotton socks after that. James, bless him, had lost my drop bag, so I couldn't get any change of socks. So for 20 plus hours, I had wet feet. And afterwards, it was so painful. Afterwards, I had to wear flip-flops to work for the week, and my dogs were just hanging around my feet all the time. And it's still ingrained in my mind. Sorry, that wasn't a quick response, but that's
no, that was perfect. That was when James rerouted it, and you basically just ran.
Yeah, you went backwards and forwards,
it,
yeah.
Up and
yeah,
down, yeah. Up and down, up and down, but it was still really flooded. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Next one.
Okay, we're going to flip this then. Yeah, your perfect day. What would be your perfect day? I've been thinking about this actually, and it would have to involve food, cinema, and mountains, and a dog walk. I think that would make me quite happy.
Do you know what? Here we are. I'll give my perfect 24 hours. Be finishing a Bob Graham round.
Oh, yes.
That is just out there. It's had two goes. That's just. It's got to be the next that one, I think. But if it wasn't that, then it would be somewhere in the Alps. Actually, to be fair, probably wouldn't be running, be skiing.
That's my sort of chat. I've just started getting a bit of ski need. Often it does get the little, so they'd start all the, like, it's 70 days until the lifts open, and you know, the skier going, choo, choo, and like, yes, get in. Okay, well, I can provide that. Come out.
Okay, you're 160 miles in. You enter a checkpoint. All they've got on offer is pasta or pizza. What are you going to go for?
What's the sauce on the pasta?
Oh, my God. Picky.
Oh, I'll go.
Oh, is it sauceless? Is it sauceless?
Carbonara. There you go. You can have a
carbonara. Oh, carbonara. You've just chosen my favourite one. It's got to be pasta.
I love a carbonara.
Oh, no. I can't stand it.
Oh, no. I love it.
It's too creamy.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, dogs. Had got three dogs. Used to have some cats, not missing them at all.
Oh.
And are the dogs allowed on the furniture upstairs on the bed or
not? Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's where they should
be. Difficult finding a space to sleep sometimes.
It's difficult finding a space to even just sit on the sofa sometimes. Three children, two dogs. I'm like, who bought this sofa?
Our kids have all left. Most of them have kind of left home. So we've got space for the dogs now.
I tell them, your time will come, my dear friends. Hang on a few more years and that sofa will be yours.
I can't get down on the floor to cuddle Rex. He's got to come up to me. It's like my 50-year-old body does not like being on the floor for too long. Okay, last question. You know what it's going to be, Basil.
Good.
Instagram story music. What are you going to go for?
Well, I need an Instagram story.
Yes. No. Oh, sorry. I normally go elaborate into this.
He can't do social media.
Okay. Every week. Yeah. Sorry. Every week we share the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and with a story, you can put a song to it or 20 seconds of a song instead of Eddie and I choosing that song.
Okay. So you want the song. Okay. Happy by, what is it? Farrell Williams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Farrell Williams. Happy.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I love it. Oh, and that's lovely, because that's also related to Inter Ultra as well, because that's what you're striving to do at the end.
Yeah. When I finish it, the happiness is not always during the event.
Well, that's good. That's life, isn't it? You know, it's not always happy, but
you've got to be patient for your satisfaction.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. If you've been listening to this and you think, oh, I have something that they could offer, I'm sure nothing is too big, too small. And so send an email in, or if perhaps you're thinking, oh, I know somebody that they could do with a little bit of help as well, maybe point them in the right direction. Gary is very diligent on the show notes and he will put all the details on this. Basil, keep us posted on not only Inter Ultra, but also your race calendar. Maybe we should add that to Deals from the Trails. What's up to this week?
Yeah, keep us a bit updated with any Bob Graham attempt. Super.
All right. I will see all you guys at the bottom of Box Hill.
We'll see you at the bottom of Box Hill, 7 a.m. for race briefing. We're actually staying. We're staying in the youth hostel. The Gary and I have a deluxe suite matching Mickey Mouse pyjamas.
Oh, see, I've got the benefit of just being able to stay at home the night before. Comfy, comfy, comfy.
We'll look forward to an invitation for tea, Gary.
maybe I'll put a sign up.
Carbonara.
On the door, say, turn left, go 2 miles, free tea.
Free.
I'll tell my wife that.
Not for that. I would probably do that. I'd do anything for tea now.
The thing is, actually, there's a big, I can't remember, the Sustainability Centre, which is a third life base, it's kind of like 130 miles or 140. So it's got a big, big last stretch. And this is bang in the middle of that last stretch.
So don't tell James. Let's just set up a secret life base for everybody. Yes. Then he'll be like,
we've got trackers on. He's going to see us.
We'll leave them on the thing and just send a little message like you do in the spine race, saying, just having a little sleep. We'll be about 5 minutes.
Off we go.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Brilliant to speak to you guys.
Thanks for your time, my dear Basil. Cheers.
Wonderful. Cheers. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Basil, for giving up your time to make and create such an incredible, I guess it would be a charity. If you think this is something that you'd like to be involved in, something you might be able to offer some services for this, or as Gary said at the start, it might be you might know somebody who could help from all the different people that are involved into Ultra, just type that into Google. You will find them, and I look forward to seeing them going from strength to strength.
And it is super tricky. I know for a lot of people, you might be just thinking, oh, financial reasons isn't the barrier for them. There are lots of other reasons, and there is other organizations out there. So hopefully there is an organization that resonates with you and your reason why you or a friend might not be getting into running. So yeah, appreciate that Basil's organization is just about the financial barrier. There are other resources out there to help you get out and feel safe on the trails.
There's only one Strava. I sing that to the kids when they're like a bit low or something, and I put their names in it. There's only one Eddie Sutton. Okay. Sometimes I just sing it to myself.
I'd get an eye roll if I did that.
Oh, yeah, the oldest one gets an eye roll, but they secretly quite like it. They're a little mum cheerleading them.
Okay, Strava. Over in our Strava club, Mike Raffin again, 128 miles. He's locked down those secret Strava, Mike, but whatever you've been
open
up
it
to,
up or I'm getting rid of you, Mike.
Well done. And Nicola McNally, again, her Strava is locked, but she did 27 hours, 26 minutes and 47 seconds of exercise. It is locked, but her profile picture, or her bio on Strava, sorry, mentions a 2024 winter spine place. You've done it. Is it squeaky bum time, Eddie?
I have done the spine. Yes. Yes, I have. I just like, as much as the winter 200 scares me, like, I don't know, like standing, that's not the unknown of the spine, the jeopardy, the fact that you're like, as hard as the winter 200 is going to be, every 2 to 3 hours, I'm going to see you. Yeah. And if I need something, and it's just not as exposed as like Crossfell or Cauldron Snout on like apps. Like, it's just, I don't think I've ever felt like months leading up to it so frightened about doing something. So yes, definitely the bum cheeks are squelched.
Last but not least on the Strava chart, 21,128 feet, Pete Faulkner. I've never heard of this, but it just sounds like such a wonderful thing and very respectful too. The Great Gift Peak Round from Honister. And basically, he was paying respects on the 14 peaks gifted to the National Trust after World War I to commemorate those who gave their lives. What a wonderful thing to do, Pete. Well done. It looked amazing. And we got some results too. Ultra Trails, Chocolate Way Ultra. Now, Chrissy Dover, first female in a time of 6 hours, 54 minutes and 37 seconds. First ever ultra. And hear this, 10 weeks after breaking her ankle. Wow, what a woman. That is some going. I'm not, obviously, you've got no medical background whatsoever, but 10 weeks, that doesn't sound long
maybe
at all.
Maybe don't tell a doctor.
No. But awesome, awesome. Well done. Stephen Kirk is a very prolific runner and quite often finds himself on the podium too. First overall with a time of 5 hours, 53 minutes and 28 seconds. Looks super muddy, but everybody had smiles on their face. Great job.
And I heard a lot about this race on the socials. Lots of people, because there's not a huge amount of racing going on at the moment. So it's one definitely to note for next year that it's not only a great route, but such a great, well-supported ultra as well. In November, they are rare to come by.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Punk Panther, I could be wrong actually, so call me out if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Punk Panther do something every month. So that's one to look for if you are looking for a November, December race. We've got a Tales from the Trails from Robert Finch.
Evening, Eddie and Gary. I really enjoy the podcast and thought you may enjoy an Om-based Tales from the Trails. My partner Rupert and I were running the medium score at the Om. The medium score is 6 hours on day one and 5 hours on day two.
This is us, Gary. This is us. This
are we medium? Good. Are we not? We're not going elite? I thought we'd be going elite. I'd just be happy to get around, literally. I've got no competitive aspirations. But basically, yeah, what you have to do, you need to get as many points as possible. And it was his first Om and Rupert's second, but I'd done similar events. We had a really good first day, despite getting stuck on some rocks in the clag. And day two, we were given an early start and we knew what we needed to do. Slightly rushed at the start, but then we were off. Things were going well and we were ticking off the checkpoints until 2.5 hours, that's very specific, in when my partner Rupert realized we'd picked up the wrong map. Oh my God. Oh wow, that would just destroy me. We'd accidentally picked up the long score map. Oh sheesh. Much swearing and dismay. How would we cope, Eddie? Would we be like trail divas?
Oh yeah. Especially if you had picked up the map, I'd be hitting you over the head with it.
Where was that? I've lost my mind. Dismay, as we thought we'd thrown our whole race away. What do? We realised there were another couple of pairs nearby, so we dropped back down to them and found out that one pair was on the same course as us. Can we borrow one of your maps? Of course they helped. And we had a pen, so we marked up our maps with the different controls. Fortunately, of the 8 checkpoints, oh God, they've done 8 already, of the 8 checkpoints we had visited so far on day 2, only one wasn't on our course. We were still in it. Our overall plan for the rest of the day was also quite similar, so we were able to continue. The day continued and we were able to maintain our position. Such a relief when it could have been game over. There is much to think about in these events with the navigation kit and mountain craft, but a lesson learned to take some time and relax before the start and to check you have the right map. Oh God, honestly, I think they did amazing just to kind of get over it and move on. But yeah, I don't know about the rules or anything like that. So it's super interesting to hear that story. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for sending that in.
Thanks to the guys that shared the map. They could have gone, what position are you? Oh, no, sorry. We love reading out your stories. We've got a couple in the bag, but we always want more. So if you have a Tales from the Trails, I've seen some hilarious ones. I saw a guy in a Tales from the Trails t-shirt with his head down a hole.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We need the story. Send it to us at hello@tntrails.com.
You might need a new t-shirt. That'd be filthy. You never get the mud out of that.
Gary will shout you a new t-shirt. Send us if it's a good enough story. It's only a t-shirt, Gary. You're such a northerner.
We have our Why We Run competition winner. Now, I don't think he did the tag and share, but I know he's a patron, so defo some extra value for being a Patreon member. And our winner is Christopher Sayers. I feel a bit awkward with this because Christopher is a really good mate of mine. So when his name came out, I was really happy when I thought, awkward. Oh my goodness me.
Awkward. The kids say.
I did record it if anybody wants to see the proof.
I would like to see that proof. Could you send that to me, please?
I can forward that now. To you, Edwina. But yeah, well done, everybody. And thanks, everybody, for entering and tagging Why We Run. And yeah, well done, Chris.
Quite a few people sharing the pictures of the book over on on Facebook as well. Well, Jel, because we had a copy, but it was PDF. So I haven't had there's nothing like the paper, is there, but you're hoping
I have to buy a coffee table if I'm going to get the book. I need a coffee
table
for that.
You have a little
book.
Coffee table in your... Where do you put your tea table when you're watching TV?
We've got a little occasional table that's not permanently.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's where I put my feet and my...
Yeah.
Honestly, my parents said, there's no coasters, nothing, Gary. It's just all flopped everywhere. And then about once a week, I'm like, oh my God, what is on this table? Rice Krispies, tea, bit of pizza.
This week's competition comes from our good friends at Active Route, and they're supplying 2x25-pound vouchers for you to spend
That's enough fuel for at least a run for me right now.
Yeah. Super generous. And
So you can spend those vouchers over at www.activeroute.co.uk. Super, I say this every week, super simple this one. All you have to do is follow Tea and Trails over on Instagram, follow Active Route over on Instagram, and then Active Route and Tea and Trails will share this week's show on Instagram. And in the comments, pop in the hashtag Active Route. All Patreons get an automatic entry. And yeah, Chris won the competition this week, so it's definitely worth being a Patreon. We'll pick a winner at random on Monday the 20th.
Good work, Gary. You work so hard on these competitions.
It never stops.
Never stop. You're such a hero. 5-star reviews flooding in. I don't have an iPhone. Why? This is sad. Why you don't have an iPhone?
It's good. People don't have iPhones.
If you, my eldest would be like, what? Yes. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't comment on Apple Podcasts, but my 5-star review comes from Bermuda.
Boom. Oh,
do you want to like give me and Gary like a all expensive holiday to Bermuda and we'll come and do a live podcast? I could do that. That wouldn't
it
be.
It still blows my mind when people say they listen in Hong Kong, Australia, Bermuda, anywhere like that. It's like,
wait,
Canada.
Can you hear the story? But also, let's just keep talking about a little trip to Bermuda with a live podcast recording.
Please.
You ever been to Bermuda?
No.
I've been to Barbados, not the same place I realised, but I can imagine the same sort of vibe. I run at 4:30 a.m. in the dark with only the whistling tree frogs for company. The heat and humidity make running in the daytime unbearable for my Scottish blood. I wonder how you ended up in Bermuda. We need more to this story. Having the consistently brilliant content of Tea and Trails in my ears makes me feel safe and happy as I pound out the miles. It keeps me focused. Although there is nothing like standing on fresh roadkill in the dark to wake you up. I did actually dry gag then. Thank you for the excellent format, which brings a mixture of education, laughs, tears, and motivation each week. I do get lonely here on this small island, so it's great to have my podcast friends keeping me company every week. Please keep it up. Many people depend on you. Thanks again, Ruth Kelly. Ruth, I hope you're running along listening to this whistling tree vlogs. I hope you're not stepping on any dead rodents. We love you. Keep going. 4:30. Kudos to you. And let us know how you ended up in Bermuda. Did you marry a really beautiful Bermudian fisherman? You met him on the beach and you impressed the size of his
board. I need to go. Oh, God's sake. I was trying to move on, but you dragged it back.
I've been rereading Jilly Cooper's, which one is it? The racing one. What's it called? I don't know what it is even called. Oh my God. I love it. It's such happy reading, but also it makes your everyday thing. You start making comments that you think are normal and you realize it's just Jilly Cooper. Anyway.
Classic.
So much.
But what does a whistling tree frog sound like? I'm going to have to YouTube that. Surely there's a YouTube video. Thanks for that, Ruth. I'm going to head over to YouTube and see what a whistling tree frog sounds like. Yeah, really, really curious. Please pop over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and leave a 5-star review if you can, or just send in an email. Either way, we'll read it out. It really does help the podcast. It pops it in front of like-minded people. I think we're done. What's Edwina up to? Week. I'm trying to like a hammy northern accent. I don't even need to hammy it up.
No, but I like it. Okay, this week. So far we are we are rainy. I have done so off the back of my 20-mile rainy run. Then yesterday I did 16 miles with the epic gym session. Ooh, felt good. I messaged Bryn at lunchtime saying, what are your feelings about nut loaf in a wrap? And he was like, do it. Yeah, it was good. Because it's like lentils and peppers and cheese and nuts.
When I was a kid and we'd go to the town centre, I would go to Greg's and I would buy a loaf of bread and a pie. And I would eat the bread and put the pie in the empty loaf. Oh my God, that was sensational.
Sensational work, Gary. Well, I produced some of my best work as well yesterday when I'm going to do that again in a minute when we stop talking. So that was good. And I actually felt the 10 miles in the morning was pretty bad. I've talked about it earlier. They're like, I just didn't want to be. I was like, I had stuff to do. Like, I was like, and I'd look and it'd be like 7.3 miles. And I was like, oh my God, this is endless. And because we're snowed in here now, I've got limited places to run. So, anyway, it was done. And then I gymmed and ran again in the afternoon. I felt great. How does that happen? You can be on your knees in the morning and then in the afternoon, not low for apps, sorted everything out. Felt great in the afternoon. So,
is it dark when you run in the morning?
No, because I do it after school drop-off. Okay. So it's about 8:30. So I am going to do my one session a week tomorrow, which will probably be like 4-10 minutes as well, because it takes me 3 or 4 minutes to get the heart rate up above 135, where it likes to live at the moment. And then Thursday, I'm doing super long. If the weather's really bad, so I'm planning to do like 5-6 hours. But if the weather is terrible, I'm not going to do, I'll do like 3 to 4 hours, because I think it takes so much out of you when you get that cold, that it's almost becomes the immunity, the recovery from that. So yeah, on Sunday when the weather was so bad, I did 3.5 hours, and that I was like, yeah, that's enough in those conditions, because I don't want to end up like getting to the start being like, I've done so much hard training. I want to have done enough hard training that actually the race, anything I reach in the race, I'm like, yeah, I've done that training. I've been here before. Okay. But I don't want to get to start line going, I've done so much training, I'm a bit done. So just be careful. But I will do long run Thursday, and then, I've done one other gym session, and I'm going to try and hit. It's a bit tricky. I've got single parenting, but I will try and hit near on 15 hours running. And now I can't get as much climbing as well. There will be some more miles in there. So, I mean, there's nothing exciting. It's just day in, day out, get those leggings back on, dust off the gilet. How bad does it smell? Put it back on.
I do salute you, Eddie. Getting it done, single parent. And like you say, your children are younger than mine, and you've got 3. So there's a lot more dependence than, say, my kids. And just to hear you showing up every week, it's pretty inspiring.
You asked me something to close my closing statements of today. When I started this block, you were like, what are you going to do if you fail? Like, because obviously the spine was a success.
I didn't say that.
You're taking a big risk, because South Downs Way 100 ended up in me with my face in a bush. Totdret was,
I'm going to defend myself. It was more of like, what's your state of mind like going into it? And you totally justified it by saying those races were completely different to this 200 miler.
Yeah, but also it rattled me, because I know it was good, because it made me question, like, there's massive jeopardy in doing this, because so many things could go wrong. Why can't I could have just chosen a 50 miler, which, you know, I could go and do tomorrow. But to me now, where I am in my career, where I am in my like parenting, like that, would I be able to do this training? I'd be like, ugh. The fact that this absolutely scares me is the reason I'm getting out. But also I think, and I'm learning more and more, is like, I have learned so much more than any other year in my sporting career. I have learned so much from the 3 races that I have done than any other year, not from the successes, but from where it went wrong. And people will know, the fueling. I wouldn't have, if I'd just carried on that South Downs 100, I couldn't. But if I had, I'd have not learned anything, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, looking, though the result wasn't what we wanted, the actual what I learned from it and what I'm now applying is my win. So if the 200 goes wrong, I have learned so much again from this training block, what I've applied, not just for myself, but for other people that perhaps I might help do this. I've shown to myself, I've shown to my family again, which is what I always go on about, like, Mum, Bryn is just like, God, you've just gone this year from one, like you have been so, I've done one really good training block to another really, I've been super focused.
I see that. And I'm super impressed with that because from my point of view, I'm really enjoying this time of year where I don't really have to think about training. And like it's like you say, you've done three big races and then this one again. It's like,
but I tell you what, come the Saturday when you're driving back up and hopefully I'm lying in the Juniper Hall youth hospital having my forehead stroked, like I'm going off season hard then. Christmas,
yeah, good.
I'm gonna party. I'm gonna have a latte. Yeah, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Crazy,
wild. So yeah, it was good. You prompted me to think that because also I think it's a good thing to have in my head. If something happens like you're going up a hill and your calf snaps or something, like there's so much that could go wrong over that. You get shin splints or so much. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen with 10 miles to go. So
I love the jeopardy, but it's so heartbreaking too that everything could be right. But like you say, you go up a hill, hamstring, calf, you just can't do anything about that.
But I choose to do this. I choose to put myself out there. I choose to put myself and I will do it again and again and again until I can't do it anymore because that is what... That's the sort of person I don't want to sit comfortably. I don't want to keep doing something that I can do. I probably would be better at running a 50 miler. I'd be faster. I would do better. But I want to do stuff that I just think, like people that know that are lining up perhaps to do one of the spine races that you think, oh God, I can't do it. Because as soon as I say I can't do it, the other side of me goes, you've got to do it now. You can do it. You've got to do it. That's where my head is. And that's where I'm thinking about this week. Let's just keep turning up. Let's just keep doing it. You just keep turning up. You've got drugs in what you're doing this week. So this sounds good.
Well, hopefully,
oh, Gary,
I think
look at these sessions. Why? No. If you were my client now, I absolutely would be going 40 minutes, like you said before, 40 to 60 minutes, no more than that. Easy running, bang, bang.
Well, this is...
Where's that come from? You haven't even done 5x3 minutes or 4x3 minutes.
I did 6x2, but I didn't do that.
No,
I didn't
do it. You didn't do it.
Yeah, but I always think this with the training plan that if you miss a session, you don't go back and do it. You move on.
No, you don't. Oh, my God. Dear listeners, do not create...
This is why everyone should get a coach. This is gold star week. Yeah, I fully appreciate why
you've
I'm...
You've got a chest infection. You're on antibiotics.
Well, I'll do strides and see.
Honestly,
like what I did.
If anyone wants a new podcast co-host, I'm in the market for somebody.
We'll see how the week goes. I'm pretty sure I'll do the strides and I'll do the minutes. Yeah, that
year
times 3 minutes.
Tell us what's on the plan.
Plan is, one of them is just strides. It's like 15, 20 seconds. I might do those on a heel. Then it's 8x3 minutes. I might head to the gym for that because I quite control that on the treadmill. And then, the other one is 15 times a minute. Now, I've done that. And that, even though I was poorly last week, I coped with that. Then again, it's another super easy 2 hour long run with the gym. The gym doesn't seem to have any reaction as far as I'm concerned. That is the gold star. What is really nice though, again, last week I didn't go back and add the elevation to the Strava activity. So I'm totally over that. And I pay no attention to the mileage either. Just whatever it is on the Sunday evening. And it seems to be about like 50 odd 60 miles for the week. But yeah, I'm not chasing miles. I'm in a pretty good headspace in this time when I am trying to do some work, but no real structure or progression to something. This is just me reminding my legs that, there's something faster than a 100 miler or a Dragon's Back race, for example. So yeah, I might do the minutes and the strides will be fine too. Because the 2 hour long run is I've said this last week, it's really short in the scheme of what, say, you're doing now and what I've done previously. And I can just run to the sea and back and do that. I don't need to get in the car, I don't need to go to the lakes. So I could do that on a Saturday and see how I feel on Sunday for this 8x3 minutes. That will be the last thing I do. Yeah, gym again. Hopefully, I'm pretty good with that. My nutrition's pretty good. All these, I'm slowly getting there. I think Andy Burry, and you've said it before, you're just putting the bricks in the wall, getting there ever slowly, just getting some good habits, trying to get 3 weeks of good habits under my belt. And bloody hell, if I get my finger out, get my Lone Peak 7 review
please
uploaded.
I can't wait on that YouTube channel much longer. I've got quite a lot to do. So
it's a shame though, like say, from a content creator. You want the latest super shoe, you want the Vaporfly, because then obviously it's quite clickbaity. People come along, and as much as I enjoy the Lone Peak 6 and 7, Lone Peak 7 I think has been out probably 6 months, so it's, there's not people clambering to watch reviews of this. I'm not expecting it to have huge downloads, but it's definitely worth doing. And like I say, the Lone Peak 6, I wish I'd packed that shoe on the Dragon's Back race. It was such a comfy shoe. But I appreciate, yeah, if you've got, like, if you're our age, maybe you've got Achilles issues, then these zero drop shoes might not be for you. Fingers crossed, we'll see. We'll see how it goes next week, what I do, how poorly I am.
If you're ill, still ill next week, I will be raging.
I'm on 9 tablets a day for this medication currently. It's a lot of drugs.
I'd push that up then. I'd do 10 by 3 minutes. I wouldn't
10
do
by 3 minutes? Yeah, it's not enough, is it?
Not enough. I do it after the long run. So I do the long run first, fueled, fasted, and then 10 by 3 minutes, and then probably hit the gym up and then have some lemon water.
That's exactly what I'll do. Well, I did my 15 minutes inclined on the treadmill and then went and did the session.
That's good. Hard, easy, easy. That's good. That's exactly.
Well, it was really time management. This is where the hustle is, because of time management, because I didn't want to go and do that on the trails, get filthy, go home, shower. At least I had the car, then I would have to run to the gym anyway. So I just thought the only way this is going to really work is if I run to the gym and do it that way. But yeah, Tyson Fury is good company on the treadmill.
Thank you so much. We're done. Thank you for tuning in. If you're still on your long run, still we've got a few Ks to click by. Good luck. You've done great. Make sure you keep eating, keep drinking. Thank you to Precision Fuel and Hydration for sponsoring the show. And thank you to all our partners and patrons. We couldn't do it without you. Be kind to your future self. Breathe and believe. Don't overdo it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and give us a share.
Well done for getting to the bitter end. You are all awesome. You laugh.
Well, because this podcast is so long. I honestly think we need to make it 30 minutes. So long. Oh,
I think we'd have a revolt.
Can you tell when people stop listening?
I can on YouTube, yeah. It's about 20 for what is a 2-hour podcast over on YouTube. On average, it's about, say, half an hour. That's what people listen to. I see the peaks and the troughs where people actually tune in and tune out again. It's quite harsh, yeah. But that is an average. I'm going to go into a bit of detail. So there'll be a lot of people who, which I find quite puzzling, because our title is blah, 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 Trail Running Podcast. And the thumbnail is pretty much describing who the guest is. I wouldn't click on that by accident and then immediately go, oh, this is not what I thought it was. Literally everything that it is on the thumbnail and the description. So why go on and then immediately go off? But there's an average of some people, yeah, listen to the once, twice, all the way through to the finish, but then some people are straight out of there.
Well, each their own, each their own. We know it's, we have a niche market church. And we know that you're great.
Best of luck if you're racing or you've got a long run and maybe you're going to do a couple of wild wees too. Share the photograph, but be careful.
Whoa.
Be careful on those camera angles.
I was about to say, think of us, and then I was like, no. Please don't.
Why not listen to the UK's number one trail running podcast, Fact, and warm yourself up with your favourite brew. My name is Gary Thwaites.
And I'm Eddie Sutton.
And that was episode 46 of Tea and Trails. And if you're one of those people who did tune out at 36 minutes, you would have missed that amazing end.
Wonderful conclusion.
That'll show you.
That'll learn them.